The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on a free-for-all Friday, August 8th, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And man, we got a fun show on tap for you today. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a cloudy, kind of overcast, not too bad day out there in the Auburn Opelika area. And so, man, we're happy that you are that you're with us. We have so much to go over on a true free-for-all Friday today here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. You got us for the next 2 hours here on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, Christian. How are you, sir?
Doing well, man. Happy Friday. What a day that it's supposed to be, and it's going to be here on the docket today, man. Free-for-all Friday has kind of become a staple here on ESPN 106.7. A lot of really good feedback, and it kind of just works its way throughout the week, right? It's something that comes up in conversation that you realize you either have a lot more that you can talk about, or again, it's something that just comes up out of the blue, like a conversation that we had yesterday that we're going to talk about. Man, we're going to talk about the SEC football preseason power rankings. We're going to dive in through 16 through 1, some that we agree with, some that we disagree with. If we were to pick and choose our SEC football preseason rankings, how would they look in comparison to this? Also, again, picking up that conversation that we had a little bit yesterday as we dove into what was a fantastic SEC schedule conversation along the Auburn Tigers. We talked a little bit of Alabama. We talked Kentucky basketball, that is, on the hardwood. And so what are the best days of college basketball this season? That kind of allows us to break down some of the other SEC schedules. And man, we have a couple dates on there that are comparable to that September 27th, September 28th that you're going to have on the college football side of things. Auburn recruiting news is going to be in here as well. All of that in a jam-packed hour number one. When we get into hour number two, a fun type of conversation, I guess you could say. Maybe not what on Yahoo agrees with, but Yahoo released a favorite bets of the 2025 college football season, and Auburn's in there. You're just going to have to wait and see what they have projected for him. Auburn football players individually racking up a whole lot of awards right now as you work your way closer and closer to the season. Man, 14 days until high school football season gets started. 21 days until Auburn and Baylor kick it off in Waco at 7 p.m.
Yeah, well, we got a lot to get to in terms of all those topics and a whole lot more. So whatever is on your mind, we'd love to hear from you on a free-for-all Friday. Phone lines are wide open, okay? You can call in 334-321-1390. All right, 334-321-1390. Is the call-in number, or you can also shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Your thoughts on any of these conversations we're having, anything else that's going on that we haven't covered or maybe haven't covered yet, hit us up. We're happy to talk about that or anything that's on your mind in the text box at 784-1067 or on the phone lines at 321-1390. And we begin with some SEC power rankings coming out from ESPN. ESPN talking football here as we are just a few weeks away from the start of the college football season. And it's always funny in these conversations because everybody seems to have just a little bit of a different opinion on what a, quote, power ranking is, right? What a power rankings list looks like. Everybody has, I feel, a different judging points, right? Different accolades, different things that you rank based off of a power ranking. And for me, I feel like preseason power rankings just basically mean, how do you feel about this team? What do you think they're going to do? How do you feel about them going? And it's almost like a confidence meter.
Sure.
Is kind of what I would put a preseason power rankings on. And looking at this list, I would say most of that is true, but some of these on here from ESPN are kind of wild, and I'm just like, man, where in the world is your confidence coming from for this particular program?
When you look at 16 through 13, you feel like those are relatively interchangeable based off of how you really feel with them. That's Mississippi State at 16, Kentucky at 15, Vanderbilt at 14, and Arkansas at 13. And obviously 16 and 15 just because of the recent struggles, the big quarterback questions with Pribula and Calzada. You then go to Vanderbilt and obviously Diego Pavia. If y'all have watched that Netflix, what's the name of the SEC football documentary?
The new one?
Yes.
Any Given Saturday.
Any Given Saturday, yes, that one. And they had the whole interview with Diego Pavia, and he's saying, F Tennessee, we're going to go and beat their you-know-whats. And so he obviously feels very confident. He says they have everything they need to compete for championships. The SEC power rankings would tell you otherwise. Vanderbilt's at 14, and then Talen Green at Arkansas is at 13. You feel like those are relatively interchangeable. You don't feel like there's too much argument one way or the other. You feel like, if anything, you'd flip Vanderbilt and Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Kentucky and Mississippi State, you feel like are basically one and the same.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to our SEC media predicted order of finish at Media Days, and it was these four. And any given order, it was those four of Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and Mississippi State. The only surprise, I think, could be Vanderbilt this season, but I don't see them climbing out of the double digits, if anything. And so, look, man, Mississippi State, it's going to take a while. Kentucky, they just ain't got the dudes. Vanderbilt, humble yourselves. And Arkansas, Sam Pittman's on his final ride. So I'm not worried about those four teams. But again, you start looking at power rankings and you start asking people, and we did at SEC Media Days, and we have been for several weeks now, the confidence rating and meter on some of these other teams as we move up this list. And here's where you find the Auburn Tigers, and pretty much everybody's list is right around that 10 to 12 spot, because until people see it, Christian, they're just not going to believe it.
Yeah, you dive through, you go through 16 to 13, and you go through 12 through 9 on the right side of this column. Auburn is at 12, Missouri is 11th, South Carolina is 10th, and Florida is 9th. And again, these power rankings, everybody has their own differing opinion on it. Jacob used it as a confidence boost or a confidence meter as you work your way into the season. If you had to put a spot 1 through 16, there's other people that say that, I mean, it's the way of determining so much more than just a strength of schedule or a record. But again, yeah, I think looking at it right now, it is very much your confidence going into the season. Once you get to week 4 and week 5, and obviously you see the big time jumps because a team's 4-1 when they were projected to be, 2-3, things like that, it obviously changes. But man, seeing Auburn at 12th right now shows you that, again, talent is not the concern whatsoever. It's very much the conversations that we've had, the conversation that everybody has had around the plains of, man, the proof of concept year is right now, and until we see it, you feel like you can't put them any higher.
But I go back to what I've claimed before with this Auburn team and the conference perspective, or even the national perspective on this team. It's like, man, take 10 minutes and just look at the roster.
Yeah.
Take 10 minutes if you haven't, because look, I'll be honest, there's a couple of teams I haven't done that yet in the SEC. Most of them I have. I'd say probably 14 of the 16 I have. But for all these other teams, man, why would you not go and look at the Auburn roster, since that's all anybody has talked about is the roster and how good it is. And you take 10 minutes and do that and tell me that they're 12th in your power rankings or your confidence rankings or whatever, your preseason poll, whatever you want to call it. I mean, I just find that to be nearly impossible, especially when you're talking about being squeezed in between Arkansas and Missouri. And we've talked about this Missouri schedule a little bit. They have a chance to get off to a great start with a couple of nice wins with Kansas and South Carolina. Just a reminder, we talked about Miami not leaving the state of Florida until November. Missouri doesn't go on the road until mid-October. They play six straight home games in Como, do the Missouri Tigers. The final one of that being the Alabama Crimson Tide, before they come and play here against Auburn, before they go on the road to Vanderbilt, host Texas A&M, host Mississippi State, go to Norman, and go to Fayetteville. I see them crashing and burning in that backstretch. I see them maybe going 500 in that backstretch, and what a good start could be crushed pretty quickly, which is why, for me, I don't have confidence in Missouri. You kid? No, I don't have confidence in Missouri, and Auburn should be higher, but as we've been saying, the narrative, it is what it is. Till you win, I wouldn't buy into Auburn either.
You feel like it's almost the, you talk about the confidence, this conversation between 12 and 11 with Auburn and Missouri is much more of the general public speaking on the confidence of the coaches, or the head coach, right? With Missouri overachieving, with Eli Drinkwitz having a pretty darn good year last year and over the past couple of years, Auburn, you feel like, again, is right there, but you can't get over that hump. Again, Auburn, Missouri, South Carolina at 10. That's going to be the first one, and again, I've been high on them all season or all off season long. That's going to be my first that I guarantee will have a green arrow working its way up halfway through the season.
I'll make Auburn fans feel really bad about themselves, the fact that Eli Drinkwitz has a better winning record than a winning percentage than Hugh Freeze does in their current schools.
Man,
Eli Drinkwitz is 5-5, 6-7, 6-7, 11-2, and 10-3.
Look at the jump those last 2 years.
So maybe it's not fair for me to say, why I'm not believing in Missouri. Maybe I am logo blind. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm biased on what Missouri football has been for my entire life. But, and you can't argue 11-2 in 2023 and 10-3 in 2024 compared to what Auburn has done in his first 2 years, Hugh Freeze's first 2 years, comparable to what Drinkwitz did in his first 2 years. But they gave him one more year at Missouri, which you probably should. He had another 6-7 season year three. Then the big jump happened. You expect that to happen a year earlier at a place like Auburn.
Yes, very much so. And I also mentioned Bo Pribula. I mentioned him with Mississippi State. That is Blake Shapen. My apologies. Bo Pribula is for Missouri. But you talk about a way for somebody like that to get his feet under him. Six straight home games is a pretty nice way
to build confidence
and to build some team chemistry with your wide receiver core. Because, again, you don't have guys like Luther Burden. You have to figure out a lot on the offensive side of the football. South Carolina at 10, Florida at 9. You feel like Florida at 9 is not because of a talent, it's simply because of the schedule.
And which, as long again, as Lagway can stay healthy.
Right, but which again throws you into so much of a conversation of, man, okay, well, look at the talent with Auburn and Florida, look at the schedules. Again, what is the overall comparison when you are ranking these teams? Because there's so many different things that go into it. Because if Florida had Auburn scheduled, they'd feel rather confident. If Auburn had Florida scheduled, you'd sit there and go, oh no, we're back in the SEC West. You work your way into the top eight. Oklahoma is 8, right? Smack dab in the middle. Tennessee at 7. Ole Miss at 6. And Texas A&M, the Aggies, are the 5th-ranked team, according to ESPN, on the SEC power rankings.
That's horrible. That's horrible. Who in their right mind, going into 2025, has over-the-top, uber-confidence in Texas A&M in year two with Mike Elko?
Would you be surprised if we looked at this graphic and it was A&M and South Carolina flipped? I wouldn't.
I think that would be a hair high for South Carolina, just because you're asking for Lenora Sellers to be everything he was a year ago and then some, and then the talent around him to step up as well. I think that's a lot to ask preseason.
Over Ole Miss and Tennessee, though?
I'll give you over Tennessee.
Okay.
I'll give you, South Carolina's a better team than Tennessee. I think they have a better year than Tennessee. So I have more confidence in South Carolina and Shane Beamer than I do with Josh Heupel in Tennessee.
That's kind of where I'm at, especially with the quarterback position. Again, when I talked with Jack Hutton on Monday, he was very high on Tennessee and said, man, this roster was still one that the players that stayed went to a college football playoff. You just feel like the inevitable step back in that following year is bound to happen. Again, with Joey Aguilar at quarterback, I think he will be good enough, but it's going to be a big-time challenge for the offensive mind of Josh Heupel. I agree. I think Tennessee is too high. I think Oklahoma is another team that's going to have a green arrow working its way up. But yeah, Ole Miss and Texas A&M at 6-5 draw a little bit of questions.
Yeah, I don't have them that high, man. Ole Miss absolutely could be a flirt and a threat to make the college football playoff out of the SEC this year. Absolutely could happen. I'm just not willing to put my Monopoly money on it yet. I'm not willing to say that. I'm not willing to put them in the top four, top five. I'm not willing to put them up there with Alabama or LSU, who I think are good. And again, Alabama, my confidence in Alabama is not super high, but it's that middle of the pack in the SEC that we're going to see on the football field this year. I'm telling you, folks, outside of Texas and Georgia, that middle of the pack could be wild. LSU, with what we may or may not know about Garrett Nussmeier, which there was some information on him today. We'll talk about that later. Alabama, not sold. A&M, not sold. Ole Miss, not sold. And maybe I'm just a negative Nancy. I don't know. Tennessee, not sold. Oklahoma, love that team. Schedule brutal. On paper, that's an awesome team. John Mateer and Jade Knott, are you kidding me? Two of the best offensive players in the league
with a defensive mindset leading the way.
They just have a horrible schedule. Florida, I like. South Carolina, I like. But what I'm saying is there's so many teams that could be really good, could be kind of good, could be average. And maybe we just see the SEC murder itself and everybody beats everybody, and by the end of it, maybe you do only have two or three teams that make it to the college football playoff.
Yeah, it looks like the SEC West, rest in peace, of where people sit there and begin to question, well, is that half of the conference really that good? You go and look at it, and four teams are 9-3 because right. It's just a round robin of who gets to beat who in any given week. I mean, it really is the case. Again, looking at the SEC power rankings, we've made our way from 16 to 5. We get 4-3-2-1 when we come back, and maybe ask a little bit of who's not going to be in the top four. I think that could be a fun conversation as well.
Yeah, I think so. We'll talk about that and more if you want to get your thoughts in here. Where would you put Auburn in your preseason power rankings going into the SEC football season? Where would you put Alabama? Where would you put LSU? Some of those other wild cards in there as well. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We're back after this as we're just underway here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7 as we are talking SEC football power rankings from ESPN. And did it say, Christian, who exactly from ESPN did this, or was this just a behind-closed-doors collection of writers that decided to release this?
It was either that or it was just based off of votes or based off of computer simulations or whatever the case may be.
Whatever they want to claim, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, we made it all the way up to number four, and there is no surprise on these four teams being considered in the top four of the SEC power rankings. LSU 4, Alabama 3, Georgia 2, and Texas at 1. Some people would have those in a different order. Texas clearly just above everybody else in terms of expectations, in terms of confidence, and everything like that. But, man, overall, I can't get over Texas A&M being fifth on this list. And we were looking at their schedule a little bit more in detail, and I've looked at it several times, but, man, I don't know if I've seen a team and a schedule this year more, I guess, have a bigger range of what could happen. I talked myself into Texas A&M being 5-7. I talked myself into Texas A&M being 9-3.
Yeah.
On this schedule.
Five
of their first six games are at home in Aggieland at Kyle Field. All right. UTSA at home, Utah State at home. You do go to Notre Dame, where tickets are as much as $450 if you want to go check that out. At Notre Dame, third week of the season. You ain't winning that one. Then they
host. Don't think so, even with the Notre Dame question marks on quarterback and everything.
Nah.
Marcus Freeman's just too good.
I think Marcus Freeman's a great coach. I think he's a great coach. And they play hard. That place is tough to play. And
look at you giving Notre Dame credit.
I can't believe it. Wow. It's been one of those days, huh? Then you host Auburn, host Mississippi State, host Florida. Five of your first six games are at home if you're Texas A&M. You then go three straight on the road. This is tough. You do have a bye week in there, though. At Arkansas, at LSU, bye week, at Missouri. You come home for South Carolina, Samford, and you end the season at Texas on Black Friday. I legitimately have convinced myself that both things could be true of...
And no middle ground.
And really no middle ground. Yeah, because again, you're not winning Notre Dame, but if you just split Auburn and Florida at home, you take care of Arkansas and Missouri on the road, you get South Carolina at home, you're going to have to win that one to beat Samford, and you split your road games at LSU and Texas, you're 9-3. You're 9-3 if you're Texas A&M, which is an improvement on the 8-4 that they always do. Problem with that would be, what key wins would you have? You'd have one of Auburn or Florida and South Carolina, but losses to Texas and LSU and Notre Dame are not going to help your case if you're Texas A&M. But you could also lose a bunch of those games and have a rough year too with Mike Elko.
You would need to beat LSU and be 9-3 and then hope that Georgia or Texas don't pan out to where then you're based, one of the two at least, and then you're almost hoping that LSU is still right in there. If they're 9-3, if Alabama goes 9-3, and then that becomes a round robin, you could almost jump one of those teams with that win over LSU, have the tiebreaker, and that would move them up into the playoff conversation. But yeah, right now, if there's a team that you think could make it to the college football playoff, if we use that term, dark horse, Texas A&M is very much on a lot of people's lists, could as easily be on mine as well, just because of Marcel Reed's supposed jump or expected jump to year two. All five offensive starting linemen are returning. Man, you don't hear things. You don't hear a stat like that
not very often.
And then obviously all of the weapons on defense and the weapons on the perimeter, their run game is really, really good. But again, you're battling a very, very tough schedule. That September 13th game is going to learn... you're going to learn a lot about the Texas A&M Aggies. I could see them make their way up, but right now, that confidence meter at 5 is too high for me.
Yeah, too high for me as well. Tennessee, again, just to go back to them for a second. Joey Aguilar, all right, let's see what you got. You know what I mean? Can Tennessee stop a toddler this year? I don't know. We'll find out.
Find out week three.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to find out really quick on that Tennessee schedule, which is sneaky good, right? I mean, sneaky good for Tennessee's football schedule this year.
I think it's a very – I guess you're going to find out week one, but I feel like it's relatively –
Yeah, if you can't stop Syracuse, you're really –
I feel like it's relatively favorable. I mean, you get Tennessee and Syracuse. That's in Atlanta. That's the 11 a.m. Chick-fil-A or the Peach Bowl kickoff. You then have East Tennessee State before you have Georgia. Again, it's a tough game. It's two of the tough three games to start. If you can split Syracuse and Georgia, you feel like you're in a good spot, because then you have UAB and Mississippi State, which you feel like you'll beat. You'll beat Arkansas. So at worst, what? That's 5-1 if you split Syracuse and Georgia?
Going to Tuscaloosa.
Then you all of a sudden you go to Tuscaloosa. That you feel like that's going to be a loss. But then Kentucky, Oklahoma, and then Tennessee, or North New Mexico State, Florida, and Vanderbilt. So
if they can win their home games, man, if they taking Georgia out of the equation for a second, win the game against Syracuse. Again, we're talking Tennessee here.
win the game, you've got to beat Syracuse, man. They're a good team, and I like that program with Fran Brown. I mean, I like what they're doing, but...
How long will he be at Syracuse? It's not for more than two more years before a major team comes calling, right?
I would think so. I mean, I would have to think so. Or maybe they decide to pay him. I don't know. But taking the Georgia game out of it, winning your home games is not all that crazy of a thing. You have... East Tennessee State, UAB, Arkansas, Oklahoma, New Mexico State, and Vanderbilt. I think Tennessee could win those games. Oklahoma being the toughest one you have. Your home games are not good from a fan perspective, other than the Georgia game, taking that one out for a second, right? Then you go on the road and, heck, take down Mississippi State and Kentucky. Okay, Tennessee's an A-win football team this year, and you slip or you catch somebody slipping. You take down Alabama, take down Florida late November, all of a sudden, here comes Tennessee.
It's wild to think about that Tennessee fans could buy a whole lot of stock or completely give up on this football team based off of the first 3 weeks of the year, right? Syracuse, East Tennessee State, and then Georgia. If you lose both of those games, the Tennessee fans are done. You're bought out. And you're ready to go cheer on Rick Barnes and Thompson Bowling Green.
Yeah. Talk about another team that could be really good, really bad, or somewhere in between. So there you go. Power rankings for the SEC. We'll take a break. Come back. Uncle Ollie is on the line. We're going to get to him, and you can be a part of the show as well. 334-321-1390. We get to the phone lines right after this.
Into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And let's get to the phone lines here on the show today. 334-321-1390. Uncle Owie, we appreciate you holding on through the break, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, no problem. Hey, listen, I want to make sure I understood what you said a while ago.
Okay.
About Eli Drinkwitz having a better percentage than Hugh Freeze.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're at their respective places. I'll take out the App State 12-1 where he was the head coach in 2019.
But isn't that a bit unfair? You're comparing Hugh Freeze 2 years at Auburn to 5 years with Eli?
A little bit, yeah.
If you look at their first 2 years, they had the exact same win total. I would also argue that Barry Odom left Missouri in a hell of a lot better shape than Brian Harsin left Auburn.
Yeah,
so I just think
I'll give you that.
That's an unfair comparison to say, oh, he's got a better winning percentage. Well, of course. He's got 5 years versus two.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is a little unbalanced of a comparison. I wasn't saying it to make a bad statement about Freeze. It was more so of just
it was why Missouri was ranked higher than Auburn in the preseason
projections. And it's also, too, Uncle Ollie, in a hope that Hugh Freeze takes the jump like an Eli Drinkwitz did in Missouri.
Yeah, I know, but I think what you said was, I hate to tell you, Auburn fans, but Eli Drinkwitz has a better winning percentage than Hugh Freeze. Well, he does. But let's compare either 2 years to 2 years, or give Hugh another 3 years, and let's compare. I just thought that was a bit unfair to say, oh, he's got a better winning percentage. Well, of course he does. He's had longer to build his percentage.
I'll say this, though. Eli Drinkwitz from year one to year two made improvements where Hugh Freeze went backwards from year one to year two.
By one game.
I would take one game last year, wouldn't you? I would take another game last year.
Yeah. All right. You win that argument. Yeah. By one game.
I mean,
come on.
I mean,
Jacob,
I'm just
you know
saying.
Better than that.
I'm just saying. Did he not? Did he not go forward from year one to year two? Year two to year three, Eli Drinkwitz was stagnant. Okay. It was 6-7 back to back years.
Then let me make this argument. Eli Drinkwitz was playing in the SEC East, where only one team ruled. He got to play the bottom feeders in the East.
But when Hugh Freeze is coaching at Auburn, the SEC East wasn't a thing. And Auburn plays more SEC East teams now than they ever have.
No, you're talking about Eli, and he had one game more. Well, he was feeding off of – I mean, his competition wasn't what he was having to go through, is my point.
I'm saying it's closer than you think.
Missouri was in the SEC East. So they're over there playing Kentucky. Florida wasn't any good at the time. Tennessee was nowhere near where they are now. So he was over there. But let's be honest, Georgia was it. So he had really and truly in the East, his SEC schedule was much easier.
I get what you're saying. I do. I get it. I absolutely get it with the time frame. Again, Drinkwitz, year one for him. A little weird, right, with the COVID year, too. Got to throw an asterisk there for every coach that was in 2020. But I get what you're saying in terms of the scheduling. But you got to look at it now. Again, Auburn playing more SEC East teams now than they have ever in history.
Yeah, I agree. But I just thought it was just unfair to say he's got a better winning percentage, and that was my only point.
No, I get it.
I'm not a Hugh Freeze apologist.
No, I get it.
Trust me. I think the only thing that's going to hold us back this year, and I hate to say it, is coaching. So, you know, I'm not a Hugh Freeze apologist. I just thought it was a bit unfair to compare his winning percentage to a person that's had an extra 3 years to build his program.
I'm with you. So I'm with you.
That was my only point.
I got you.
But I always enjoy listening to y'all.
Appreciate the call. Appreciate the compliment or the comments there on a little bit of a pushback. And he's right. It wasn't an apples to apples comparison. It really did. I guess, or I'm hoping that it's in hopes of watching Hugh Freeze take that next step. And as I mentioned too, Drinkwitz in year three, he went 5-5 year one, 6-7 year two, and then year three, as I mentioned, stagnant. He was 6-7 again. Guess what? Hugh Freeze can't go 6-7 in year three. He definitely can't go 5-7, right, like he did last year. But you can't stay stagnant in year three if you're Hugh Freeze at Auburn like Drinkwitz did in year three at Missouri. His leash was longer there in Como. It's worked out for them. Clearly, 11-2 in 23, 10-3 in 24. Jury's still out on what happens in 25. So, no, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison. My take on that was it worked out for Missouri at Drinkwitz.
Yeah, and again, it is the reason why if we're talking about, again, we talked about 12-11, again, Auburn and Missouri in those SEC power rankings of if you're looking at schedule, you're looking at talent, you feel like coaching is the thing that pushes Eli Drinkwitz in Missouri over that Auburn hump, at least as of this
absolutely
year.
I mean, and I guess maybe that's more too of like just looking in their
I
career.
I think that was the bullet point you were trying
Convey. Maybe so. Yeah, in their career at their current school, who's proven it more on the field? I understand Drinkwitz has more time, so he's had more chances, and Uncle Ollie said something too. He's had more time to build the program.
Yeah,
absolutely right.
And took over a better spot.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. How do you feel about Barry Odom at Purdue? He mentioned Barry Odom, and I always forget that he got hired up there.
Their win total tells you how I feel about him there.
I mean, can't get any worse than 1-11 from a year ago. Uncle Howie, we appreciate the call, my friend. Always feel free to do that. Come in and agree, challenge, do whatever. We love hearing from you and all of our people out there. Phone lines are open all show long. 334-321-1390. Let's flip topics here to get to what we're moving on to next, and it's on the college basketball side, where we've looked at a lot of these SEC schedules that have been released this week, including Auburn's, which I think we're excited about. There's some really fun games on Saturdays, really tough road trips, and a couple of monstrous games inside of Neville Arena. But looking at the entire SEC basketball season, right, from January 3rd, that Saturday, through March 7th, on that Saturday, leading into the SEC tournament, and then eventually into the NCAA tournament. Christian, there are a couple of days this season where I don't care if it's a wedding, I don't care if it's a baby being born, I don't care if it's a divorce. Don't go. Just stay home and get the cliff notes later on from somebody else who was there, because there are a couple of days this year in college basketball, just in the SEC alone. We don't even know the ACC, Big Ten, some of the Big 12 schedules I think might be out, but
no,
we don't even know. We don't even know the other games around the country. These are just days where college basketball must be consumed in the Southeastern Conference.
This year, the SEC scheduling people did a very good job of making it feel like college basketball is college football this year, and that was the comparison that we made diving into Auburn's basketball schedule. It was, man, look at the Saturday slates. Look at every single Saturday. You feel like here in just a couple of days, again, 21 days, you feel like it's going to be a college football-type Saturday until early March. That is the way of reality with everything. And so we had a fun conversation yesterday diving into, man, what could be the college basketball's version of September 27th and 28th? Because, again, that is a fantastic weekend for the Ryder Cup. It's college football, and then there's also great NFL games on there as well. That's Auburn, Texas A&M. That's Georgia, Alabama. That's Oregon, Penn State for the college football side of things. Just those three games to highlight so many more that are going on. And then Sunday, there's some other great NFL games, which I mentioned. But what was the weekend for that of college basketball? Is there a comparable one? And I found four that are maybe not up to that standard, but man, could be really, really solid. And it's the last two Saturdays in January. It's the following Saturday of February 7th. So those three straight weeks, that's basically your mid to late October in college football. And then March 7th. January 24th, Saturday, January 24th. And again, this is without any of the other schedules being released. This is just strictly looking at the SEC. You have Tennessee at Alabama. You have Georgia at Texas, two teams trying to prove themselves and make a big-time year jump. South Carolina goes to Texas A&M. Oklahoma goes to Missouri. Vanderbilt goes to A&M. You don't feel like those middle three care as much. Mississippi State, yes, apologies. Ole Miss goes to Rupp Arena in Kentucky.
Sneaky good game.
Auburn travels to the Swamp, travels to Gainesville to take on the defending national champions, and then LSU travels to Bud Walton Arena to take on Arkansas.
I mean, no coincidence as this just happens to be my birthday. I mean, no coincidence whatsoever.
Sorry,
right?
I won't. You said it, man. I won't be able to go. Sorry, I'll get the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, I'd love to be celebrating my birthday in Gainesville. That'd be a lot of fun. Great games on this day. Again, Auburn, Florida, huge matchup. Tennessee in Coleman. I love the Georgia-Texas matchup there. Even Oklahoma-Missouri could be fascinating. And then, like I said, Ole Miss and Kentucky is a sneaky good game on that Saturday.
You feel
as well.
Like if there's six games right there with 12 teams, it's three games of six teams that are proven, and then there's three games of six teams that are trying to take that big-time jump. And again, that's early on in the SEC slate, where some of those teams like Oklahoma, like Georgia, that are 8, 9, 10 seeds in the tournament could get one of those signature wins to bump them up in bracketology.
And then you mentioned the very next Saturday, January 31st, the final day of January, incredible games here too.
It's
insane. Auburn goes to Knoxville to take on Tennessee. You've got the Red River rivalry on hardwood, Texas and Oklahoma. That's in Norman, by the way. You've got Alabama in Gainesville taking on Florida, and then Kentucky goes back to Fayetteville to take on Arkansas once more with John Calipari and the Razorbacks and Mark Pope and the Kentucky Wildcats. So again, Kentucky, Arkansas, Bama, Florida, just the highlights here, Texas, Oklahoma, and then Auburn and Tennessee.
But wait, there's more. If you call now, we'll double the offer.
Just
the very
sure
next Saturday, on any given Saturday in the SEC, February 7th, Ole Miss travels to Texas, Oklahoma at Vanderbilt. That was a great game last year. Florida goes to Reed Arena to take on Texas A&M. Missouri, South Carolina, Arkansas travels to Mississippi State, Georgia to LSU. But the two big games, Tennessee at Kentucky and Alabama at Auburn.
Mm-hmm. The Iron Bowl of basketball on Saturday, February 7th, round one. Of course, the rematch will be at the season finale back in Tuscaloosa. But yeah, man, Auburn, Alabama, and then Tennessee, Kentucky. Those two games alone will carry that Saturday of college basketball.
Got to find a way to make it a night game, right? I mean, at least one of them.
Also,
one could be game day, one could be the nightcap.
Also, do you see what game is also on that schedule and why it could be just entertainment gold on that day? Saturday, February 7th.
Hold on, I'm going to find it.
I believe in you. Do you need a hint?
Ah, Central Arkansas at Lipscomb. There we go.
No. Staying in the SEC. No. Think about it.
Hold on.
Think about it.
I'm still trying to get back to the day. Okay, here we go.
February 7th. Saturday, February 7th. There's a good game. On paper, the game itself will be good. But the talking points outside of the game will
be even
better.
Oh, it's Beard returning to Texas.
Bingo. Yeah. Ole Miss heading to Austin, taking on Texas. Chris Beard's return to the Moody Center. I don't know how that's going to go.
Is that going to be the Calipari type of the applause when you walk in, but then as soon as the ball is tipped, it's...
Man, I don't know.
It gets back, or is that full-on just a...
But here's the thing. It's not like he left.
It's not like he kicked them on the way out.
Yeah, I mean, they fired him.
He might have kicked them on the way out,
I mean,
but that was after...
They fired him.
He retaliated.
Yeah, and he was like, hey, watch this. And I don't know. I don't know what reception will be like.
You're going to watch it.
Absolutely, you're going to watch it. There's no doubt about it.
Fantastic.
And again, that game itself should be good. Ole Miss versus Texas on the hardwood. That should be a great game.
Yeah. So the last two Saturdays in January, the 24th, the 31st, the very following Saturday, February 7th, and then arguably the best of them all is the regular season finale, March 7th. Listen to some of these games. You have the Red River Rivalry rematch. That one's in the Moody Center. That's Oklahoma at Texas. Vanderbilt at Tennessee, which is always a crazy rivalry. Arkansas goes to Columbia to take on Missouri. You have Texas A&M going to LSU. You have Florida making the return trip to Kentucky. And that's when Auburn travels to Coleman Coliseum to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. That is Saturday, March 7th. And man, we've talked about how good the SEC could be and is going to be. Everything could legitimately be, no pun intended, on the line here on this Saturday, March 7th. For any teams that are trying to get that double bye, even just a single bye, trying to move up a seed or two in the tournament, Saturday, March 7th is going to be incredible.
Yep. A lot of good days, a lot of good Saturdays. That doesn't even count the great midweek games you get throughout the year as well, where teams go on the road and you try to survive a two- or three-game road stretch and things like that. And so, going to be a lot of fun for SEC basketball coming up in 2025 and 2026. We'll take our final break here in hour number one. It's decision day for a big receiver here for Auburn and other teams around the SEC. We'll talk about him and then get into hour number two right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Well,
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. And if you want to be a part of the show, give us a call, 334-321-1390. We'll probably have to get you to start hour number two. But if you have thoughts at any time during the show, you can always hit us up in the on-the-line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. And it is decision day, not for Christian's wedding dress, but for a recruit.
I've already found that one.
Good for you. I know. I really enjoyed that. I appreciate you letting me tag along. It is recruiting day, or decision day rather, for Jace Matthews, who is considered one of the best receivers in the class of 2026. He's a guy that Auburn has been in on for a long, long time. He's 6'2", 182 pounds, next door in the state of Mississippi. He's a four-star no matter where you look at the rankings, okay?
And it won't be four-star when he's done with his senior year.
I agree. I think he will absolutely be flirting with a five-star when everything is said and done. He's considered, again, one of the top 10 players in the state of Mississippi, a top 30 wide receiver in the entire class, and this is how you know he's a good player, even if you're not sold on him only being a four-star, which might be the dumbest narrative that fans have come up with in the past couple of years. Ole Miss is in on him. Auburn is in on him. Texas A&M is in on him. And LSU has started to feel really good about this kid coming down the stretch, and he commits tonight at 6 o'clock Central Time.
Yeah, Texas A&M, LSU, and Ole Miss are the other three. You feel like it's between Auburn and LSU, a battle of the Tigers.
Yeah.
He's been not crystal balled, but he's been given that little confidence meter to go to Auburn as 6, which again is what you see a majority of people do of, yeah, we feel relatively confident. But yeah, you mentioned, according to 247 Composite, he's the 117th ranked player in the class, the 13th ranked receiver, and the 6th player in the state of Mississippi. Man, a bunch of his recruiting pictures, Deuce Knight was in there, again, the quarterback from Mississippi, and so you hope that that connection could continue to build. He is described as quicker than fast, a playmaker with or without the ball in his hands. That's a category right there that excites you. And man, it just goes to show you what this receiver core does this year inside Jordan-Hare Stadium, wearing the orange and blue. How that could be. You called it just a recruiting hotbed.
Yeah.
For receivers.
Yeah.
For quarterbacks. Success on the offensive side of the football this year, as well as making that step in the win column, you feel like everything could be so easily, a simple game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It could so easily be working in the right direction.
Yep, so again, Jace Matthews will be making his commitment tonight, 6 o'clock Central Time. I assume that's on a YouTube page somewhere, maybe on 247's YouTube page or something. But again, everybody continues to feel, and our sources say the same thing, that Auburn feels, and Derek Nix feel, and Marcus Davis feel that Auburn is the one that's going to bring him home.
According to Rivals, he's the number 2 receiver in the class behind CeeDee Morgan, which we talked about. That battle is far from over with Auburn and Alabama. I don't know exactly how you get this, but it says that the Tigers have an 88.1% chance of landing him, according to Rivals RPM.
Okay, sure.
Sure.
Hold him to it. Hold him to it. Jace Matthews will commit to either Auburn, LSU, Texas A&M, or others coming up tonight, 6 o'clock Central Time. We are out of time in hour number one, but good news is we got a whole another hour coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7.
ESPNAU.com and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 1067. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 1067, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 1067. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin in the studio with me. And if you missed any of hour number one, had a lot of fun. It's a true free-for-all Friday. And I feel like we say that every week, but we try our best to just go all around the world, really, and just hit a bunch of different topics and get a bunch of phone calls and text messages and pretty much just hit on whatever that we want to. And free-for-all Fridays don't necessarily take place during the football season or even the basketball season just because we're always talking about the games and predictions and making picks and things like that. So all I'm saying is appreciate it while it's here. That's what I'm saying. That's my message today.
There you go.
Appreciate free-for-all Fridays while they're here.
I love it.
If you missed any of hour number one, we talked a bunch of different things. We talked SEC football preseason power rankings and how we completely disagree with everything that ESPN had to say. We also looked at college basketball and some of the best dates of the season coming up in 2025 and 2026. Saturdays will be just theatrical this year for the SEC in college basketball. And then talked a little recruiting as well, as it is decision day for a receiver in the state of Mississippi, where Auburn feels like they're in a good spot to land the four-star wideout. So all of that and more was in hour number one. If you missed it, go back and catch it with the podcast version of the show in the podcast center on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, going to continue a conversation that we were talking about yesterday on the college football side of things. Not necessarily the most bet on teams. That was a big conversation yesterday, but Yahoo Sports released an article written by a couple of their writers, and it's their favorite college football win total bets ahead of the 2025 season. Auburn is in there, and you may or may not really, really like or dislike what they have to say about their predictions on the Auburn Tigers. We're going to dive into some of the awards that were given out for some of the Auburn football players as, man, they continue to rack up everything. We talked about the receivers yesterday. I mean, we have Rayshon Pleasant getting return honors, yeah. A bunch of offensive linemen, defensive linemen in there as well. All of that before we talk about the scrimmage that's happening inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. What do we want to hear from it? What do we want to come out of this scrimmage? Also, a little bit of news on Malcolm Simmons as well. In Auburn, we talked about it earlier in the week, but now just about everywhere. We talked about, man, how you could go on any sports book and get anywhere from 1 to 4 different points. Well, they're kind of matching up a little bit once again, as Auburn is now the favorites once again to beat Baylor, again, more specifically according to FanDuel. But all of that's coming up here in hour number two. I'm Christian Griffin. He is Jacob Goins, and we appreciate everybody for being here with us on this free-for-all Friday. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, or if there's something that's on your mind, again, that's not on our docket, that's what free-for-all Friday is for, man. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Again, that number, 334-321-1390. That'll connect you to the phone lines. You can get on the phone lines with us. You can be on the line. The text box is always open as well at 334-784-1067. And Jacob, Yahoo Sports releases their favorite college football win total bets ahead of the 2025 season. Just a list of them in a paragraph or two of them in Auburn. Do we start with them or do we end with the Auburn Tigers?
I don't know, man, because some of these are toxic. I mean, Kent State under 1.5 wins.
At +150,
baby. At +150. That is toxic. Like,
It says the good news is that Kent State's 21-game losing streak shouldn't extend to 22. The Golden Flashes host FCS Merrimack in week one.
So they're projecting them to get a win right there, but then
lose
not,
out.
Yeah, not win another game.
That's
Let's go
brutal.
Look at this.
That's horrible, man. I mean, we can it says it could be the only win for them in 2025. They were outscored. Holy smokes. In 2024, the old can't read, can't write Kent States were outscored 44-14. Sorry, that was an Ohio joke. 44-14 was their average outscored in every game a year ago for Kent State.
Nah, they're winning more than 1.5. They're winning more. I mean, you look at what they put up last year, and it wasn't. But they put up 24 against Pittsburgh. They didn't score against Tennessee or Penn State. Those back-to-back weeks, that is brutal.
Yeah, that's rough. I'd like to see the injury report come out.
But you
out
put
of those
up
games.
33 on Eastern Michigan. You almost beat Ball State. It was 37-35. Cardinals, you put up 21 on Western Michigan. Man, I believe in this Golden Flashes team.
They
man.
Play UMass this
year.
Year
two. You look at it. They're going to beat Merrimack. They're going to beat Texas Tech. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. They might beat Florida
wins.
State.
That's so
or
bad.
Oklahoma.
Oh.
Nah, they're getting two, and we're going to come back to it because they're going to be halfway through the season, and they'll be 2-4.
Well, what tells me looking at this is they're saying their popular bet is to go under on 1.5, but that's not the favored bet. So
oh,
they're
no.
favored to go over. They're supposed to go over 1.5, but yeah, the fact that they went and did research on that is pretty wild to me. There are some interesting ones on here. You've got Utah at over 7.5 is what they're jumping on. That's a pretty heavy favorite for the Utes with Devin Dampier is now their quarterback. The New Mexico gunslinger
yeah.
is now there at Utah. So they're saying Utah over 7.5 wins. See, this one's brutal too. Stanford under 3.5.
And look how heavily favored that is.
Yeah, minus 175.
That might not even be a line anymore.
Yeah, they may have taken that one off. Let's go look at old Stanford's football schedule, why don't we? Member of the ACC, by the way, just in case anybody forgot that fun nugget of college football.
Stanford.
At Hawaii, at BYU, home for Boston College, at Virginia, home for San Jose State, at SMU, home for Florida State. Goodness. At Miami, home for Pitt, at North Carolina, home for California, and home for Notre Dame. Total's 3.5. I just don't know if they got it in them.
They're plus 145.
I don't know if they got it.
According to one sports book, and they're minus 105 on DraftKings to go over 3.5.
I mean, that's crazy right there. No surprise that Illinois is a popular bet to go over 7.5. I talked yesterday about how so many people, especially in the Big Ten, are high on Illinois returning all that starting production from a year ago. And the fact that it's only 7.5 seems low to me. I've seen 8.5, so I would take 7.5 if you have a book that would do that. I would take 7.5, but I wouldn't take 8.5 on Illinois. A couple of SEC teams in here that is kind of intriguing to me. Popular bet. Oklahoma over, according to Yahoo Sports, going over 7.5 wins for a team that has the hardest schedule in the country, according to some.
It says that Yahoo Sports has the Sooners as the 12th ranked team in their preseason rankings, and they think Oklahoma is in line for a massive season. Again, we've talked about John Mateer and Jaden Ott. And it says they'll happily take the plus odds for a team that's among the 15 best in college football. Man, you just got to hope that Brent Venables defense can step up. Because, again, it's always been the offense is the question. The last thing now is you put so much focus on the offensive side of the football that defense becomes a little bit lackluster. Brings me back to my basketball days when I was younger. Being the left-handed guru, the left-handed sniper, man. The lefty layups were always there. The right-handed ones obviously were not when I was younger.
Yeah.
One of my coaches made me focus on right-handed layups so much that I started sucking at left-handed layups. So that's what you...
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You literally just took money out of one pocket and put it in the other, huh?
Basically, yeah.
What drill did you guys do?
We did a lot of mic and drills.
Okay.
We also worked on something that's a lost art. It's called full-speed layups in practice. Nobody really does that anymore.
They don't do that
but,
anymore.
So to this day, I weirdly enough feel more confident going up with the right hand than I do the left.
That's so crazy. How about that?
Shouldn't make sense.
No, it doesn't at all. Wow. Okay.
But there we go.
The more you know.
That's the comparison for Brent Venables' offense versus defense this year. There you go.
I don't know if it was a good or bad comparison, but it's a comparison.
It was a comparison, baby.
That's right. Popular bet, according to Yahoo, Missouri to go over 7.5, a team that we were talking about a little bit in the first hour with Eli Drinkwitz. I mean, if 7.5 is their true win total, you're talking about a team that's coming off of back-to-back double-digit win seasons. You're talking about a 10-win team from a year ago. Seems like you would hope they could get to 8 wins, right? I'm not necessarily sold on them just yet, but pretty popular bet for them to at least go 8-4 and be a decent football team in the SEC.
Yeah.
Not surprised to see LSU over 8.5. I mean, I think everybody and their mothers jumped on that. And I really, just to be that guy.
I was going to say, why would you not?
I really just want to go the other way, just to see
just
if it doesn't
work. Just
predict
an 8-4 season.
Yeah, just to be like, you know what? The entire world is jumping on Garrett Nussmeier and LSU, which, by the way, I know there's been a ton of conflicting reports and things out there about Garrett Nussmeier. Did you see that LSU this morning changed up their schedule and closed off practice to the media that was supposed to be available this morning?
We heard that he got banged up a little bit, but they said that he was fine. Obviously, reporters took that as he tore his ACL. He's never going to be able to walk again. And they obviously debunked that. But yeah, a little bit of injury scares. Chris Gordy talked about it yesterday, that they're just going to bubble wrap him for the rest of the preseason. And why wouldn't you? Man, a little off topic once again, but on the topic of quarterbacks getting injured, NFL preseason. People go and wonder why these star quarterbacks don't go and play in the preseason. Man, go look what happened to Anthony Richardson last night.
They did say that he's going to be fine.
Well, that pinky was pointing right when his hand was pointing to the left.
I saw a thing today that they said he was going to be back out there in the next couple of days.
That's wild.
Now, whether he's going to be playing
regardless,
bunch, but yes,
the fact
your
that he got
stands.
Absolutely lit up, and that's somebody that's projected to be that starter that's making that big jump in year two to year three, you feel like the injury scares, man, are just worse than they've ever been.
Brian Kelly this morning addressed the rumors after practice to and about Garrett Nussmeier. He said it's not a major injury. He is he's dealing with patellar tendonitis in his knee. Says that, quote, this is a chronic situation. It's tendonitis. It's like a bad ankle. He just planted the wrong way. So I also saw something where he said on a scale of 1 to 10 on the seriousness, 10 being the most serious and out for the year, they said it's a 1.5. So I think we could probably dial back on the worries on Garrett Nussmeier and whether he's going to be playing this season. But to get back to my original point, why would you not fade the public and go against LSU this year and just hope that everybody is wrong?
I know you're a big under guy, so you're going to just jump all over that.
Yeah,
right?
I love nothing more. Couple of other ones that stick out on this list. There's Baylor on that list. As Yahoo says, their most popular over-under win totals that they're sprinkling some cash on in 2025. And there's the over for the Baylor Bears at 7.5, which is right in line with people that are predicting them to make a run, make a push, and possibly be a favorite to win the Big 12 title.
Their first statement, and again, Auburn is the next team, and so you can imagine where that is going.
Hmm.
They say, well, we might as well go ahead and officially pick the Baylor Bears to win that week one game against Auburn. They have a tough schedule in 2025 with a trip to SMU in week two, as well as Arizona State, Kansas State, and Utah, but those contests are at home. We're high on Baylor after the team closed out the 2024 season with 6 straight wins. They missed out just one spot of our top 25 and should be a contender for the Big 12 championship game. Notice how that says that they have a tough schedule in 2025, but that's stated after they go ahead and beat Auburn week one.
I mean, back-to-back games against Auburn and SMU is no joke, though. Hosting Auburn on a Friday night, then having to get on a plane and go take on SMU in week two, that's tough if you're Baylor.
Yeah,
that's
but
not easy.
But they got their Friday night game, so they have the extra day.
Yeah, well, as you can imagine, they took Baylor to go over 7.5, and they took Auburn to go under 7.5 for obvious reasons. And so there's no surprise there. They also decided it would be fun to take Arkansas's under 5.5. I think I would probably do that too. I have heard good things out of Arkansas's camp, though.
I mean, Taylen Green, you feel like, is going to be solid, but you got to have other things than then the quarterback spot show out.
Yeah, and I just don't know, man. I don't know where their blue chip ratio is. It can't be good. But
Arkansas's, here we go.
Yeah, it can't be good. Their little description, what do they say about Arkansas?
Oh, while you're doing that, will you read what they said about Auburn first?
Oh, sure. This is on Yahoo Sports. They are taking Auburn to go under 7.5 wins. Hugh Freeze thinks his team has a shot to be in the playoff conversation at the end of the season. We think that they have a shot to be under 500 at the end of September.
Yeah. Hugh Freeze thinks their team can be a playoff team. Well,
we think they're
over
under
here
500.
At Yahoo Sports, we think they have a better shot at going under 500
at the end of September. Auburn has road games at Baylor, Oklahoma, Texas A&M over the first month of the season before hosting Georgia and Missouri in October. Wow, it's almost like they took Missouri to go over, too. How crazy is that? Also, it says there's a very real possibility that Auburn will be 2-4 before Missouri visits on October 18th, and that would leave little margin for error if Auburn has any hope of hitting the over.
Just going back to your question, Arkansas's blue chip ratio is 13.4%.
God, where does that rank in the SEC? That's got to be dead last. Well, maybe not dead last. 15th, probably?
Let me... Nope, I believe that
14th?
Is... 14th? I believe that is last. Because
really?
Mississippi State is at 17.8. Vanderbilt's at 15%. Yeah, Arkansas is the last ranked team according to in blue chip prospects in the SEC.
Man, send a prayer for our friends in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Our buddy Ty is going to have a long year, man. It's going to be some cold snacks consumed on those Saturdays in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hugh Freeze thinks that his team has a shot to be in the playoff conversation at the end of the season. We think they have a shot at being under 500 at the end of September.
Ruthless.
It's rage bait right there. It worked.
It worked.
It worked,
got
Mr.
It. Yeah.
Nick Bromper.
Yeah, way to go, Yahoo. Yeah, you got us. A bunch of Yahoos they are. Okay, we'll take a break. We got more to get to on this Free-for-All Friday. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on what we're talking about or anything else that's on your mind. Auburn players are starting to get a lot of preseason love, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, you name it. We'll talk about those guys and what could happen or what would happen if those guys actually pan out. We'll talk about that coming up next here in hour number two on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Got a few minutes before we get to our bottom of the hour break, and wanted to shout out and kind of highlight a little bit some, or a lot, really, of the Auburn football players who are on, Christian, just a ton of these preseason watch lists. I mean, it seems like every single day Auburn is sending out something new, a new graphic, a new shout-out, a new accolade for all these guys who are on these preseason watch lists. And when I said going to break, whether it's offensively, defensively, or special teams, I mean it, because Auburn's got representation on all three facets.
I mean, you feel like every single position has some sort of Auburn award or Auburn watch list player to be recognized, even if it's not the official awards. I mean, you're looking at the PFF, the highest graded quarterbacks that are returning with Jay Crawford and Rayon Strader. We talked about some of the receivers with Eric Singleton and Cam Coleman being on some watch lists. And then the ones that we saw late yesterday is Rayon Strader getting the Jet Award watch list. How awesome of an award name is that? The Jet Award? That is incredible, and that is for return specialists. And you feel like, man, that could be one of the biggest reasons that he signed to come play at Auburn, is to be one of those key guys in the return game. Again, he was at Tulane last year and had a return for a touchdown. It was one of the highest in return yardage per attempt. And we saw him back there. We saw Eric Singleton. We saw Malcolm Simmons all back there returning punts during the media windows that we were able to get. But if he can be one of those big-time guys, obviously the Jet Award sees him as somebody very highly as well.
Yeah, Connor Liu on the Remington Trophy watch list for the best center in college football, and I think that is absolutely earned. A guy that, whether he truly wins that award or not, Auburn needs him to be the anchor of that offensive line. I mean, be the guy that you just don't have to worry about. And that's from a protection standpoint and from, you know, snapping the football standpoint too and setting up your quarterback to succeed.
I mean,
crazy idea.
It is. It is a crazy idea. Again, a simple game, really. But we talked about it with Keldrick Falk. Again, that's the best example that we have of asking him. You know, sometimes it's the biggest compliment not hearing your name called just because you're getting doubled. You're not able to get tackles or you're not able to get into the backfield, but it's because there's so much emphasis on you. It's kind of the same way for the offensive line as well. I mean, if you don't hear Connor Liu's name, if you don't hear Xavier Chaplin's name, if you don't hear Mason Murphy's name or Dylan Wade, you feel like that's a pretty good sign. That shows that they're doing exactly what they need to do, where it's not the false starts, it's not the holding penalties, it's not the clipping or the chop blocks, anything like that. The best time you want to hear their name is with the color commentator going, man, look at the hole that this man just cleared for Damari Alston or for Jeremiah Cobb or for Darrell Robinson. Look at what the job they did at pulling, or look at the pass protection that Jackson Arnold has because of this guy. The last thing you want is the guy with the white hat letting you know exactly who your offensive line is.
I know you were just talking about Rashawn Pleasant as well, and want to remind folks why Auburn went to get this guy in terms of a DB, yes, but why he's on that Jet Award watch list. Because listen to this. As a sophomore last year at Tulane, he had 13 punt returns for 449 yards, averaging nearly 35 yards a return. Two of them, he scored. He returned 13 punts, two of them were touchdowns, and he was averaging 35 yards a return. That's strong.
You want to talk about how nice it is to have a punter that can flip the field? Think about how long it's been since Auburn has had a punt returner or a kick returner or just a kick coverage that can flip the field.
That's a whole other conversation.
It is, but we've made the jokes of, man, just send 11 at the punter. Just let him sit there. If it's a 70-yard punt, so be it. It means that Auburn now has the football.
Tip your cap.
On the kick return, I don't care if you have to call a fair catch at the 13-yard line.
Just do it.
Just do it. We'll take it at the 25 and we'll move on from there. Having somebody like him that can now make people miss in space and has experience and you feel like is an expert on that side of the field, man, they're special teams for a reason, because you don't think about them until it's time to impact a game in such a big way. I mean, starting at the 32 versus the 25 is very, very big on the offensive side of the football, man. You get pinned at the 10-yard line on a punt. Nope, you're at the 18. Even just that makes such a big difference, much less you give somebody like that time in space. Or as a punter, you're sitting there going, okay, I can't kick it to him. Oh, there goes a shank. There's a 15-yard punt, all because of that guy that's in the backfield.
No doubt. I mean, that's you're talking about picking up basically an extra first down, or taking a first down away from the offense and taking that away from what they have to do, is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, and it, obviously it's not the exact comparison, but imagine if your offense averages 37 yards per drive. Obviously, again, that's a number that you're just pulling out, but okay, 37 yards starting at the 30. Oh, then you're on the fringe of field goal position. Oh, but think about those 10 yards that Pleasant's able to get on a punt return. Oh, all of a sudden, you're in the wheelhouse for Alec McPherson. There you feel like 3 points are guaranteed.
Speaking of McPherson, he's on the preseason watch list too. It's one of the best kickers in college football. And good thing about Rashawn Pleasant, he does have some DB snaps. At 27 tackles a year ago, 35 combined. Had a pick six a year ago. Talk about somebody that was a secretly good pickup in the transfer portal. I think Rashawn Pleasant's going to be a name Auburn fans really enjoy watching in 2025. We got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Phone lines, they're open. 334-321-1390. We talk more fall practice things when we come back.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. And we appreciate you being with us on this August 8th, 2025. And folks, we're officially 2 weeks away from the start of high school football, where Auburn High will be at home at Duck Sanford Stadium. Lee Scott Academy will be home over on Academy Drive as well. I mean, high school football is here. Didn't you tell me that big Georgia high school start next week? Yeah, doesn't Buford play next week?
They do. Yeah, they start a week early. And, yeah, Buford is playing on ESPN on Thursday the 14th.
Well, their new stadium caught wind with ESPN. It all went around social media late last week, I think, and everybody was like, oh, there's a $65 million stadium over there. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, take me back to high school, man. I'll go play in that for a dollar.
I'll strap up. Yeah, I'll strap up, but make me a walk-on kicker. I don't care. I'll play in that on a Friday night. I've never seen anything like that in my life, man. But
Yeah,
that's pretty – yeah. So, God, yeah, Georgia high school football starts next week.
They had their
Alabama high school football starts on the 22nd. I think the rule – with the AHSAA, is you can start the earliest you can have a game is the 21st, I think.
Okay. So yeah, because I know Buford and a bunch of other schools in the state of Georgia had their scrimmage this past week, getting ready for the start of the year. And I remember it because it was always we could go watch Buford more times than not in the state championship. And then could come and watch some of my cousins at Auburn High, like the next week, just because they were still playing. So that was always a week or two ahead of everything.
Yeah. Well, again, 2 weeks away from our high school football coverage, and we're super pumped about that. Super excited to bring you that. Auburn High will be on Wings 94.3. Myself, Rob Pate, Jack Hudden. Once again, we've got an electric crew, and we're excited to bring you another year of that. And then for Lee Scott, you guys are on AU 100.3. It'll be you and Rhett Chrome. So looking forward to both of us getting the season started, and we don't have to travel week one, which is always nice.
It is very, very nice. Do you have to travel week two?
Yeah, do you?
No, but I play on Friday.
Yeah, I travel but play on Thursday, so I'll take the take the road trip and have August 29th off for no particular reason.
We're going to really, really hope that I don't start calling the Auburn game on the Lee Scott Sports Network.
I don't know, man. You look, my rule is you can have it on, but you can't react to it. You gotta stay focused.
Oh no, everybody will know that it's first down Lee Scott and first down Auburn, all right? That's
it's
third and goal for Lee Scott Academy. Baylor's up 14-0.
Yeah, let's see if we can find a way to plug your broadcast and Andy Bertram's broadcast at the same time from just simulcast AU100.3 and Wings 94.3. That's all you got to do. Just simulcast.
Pick which AirPod you wanted in.
Yeah. Lee Scott in one ear and Auburn University
in
the other.
You're in commercial break and you can take one out and actually listen to the spouse.
I mean,
you're good to go.
Nah, don't do that. No. Don't do that. So our high school football coverage does begin in 2 weeks from tonight. So we're really looking forward to that. More on that as we get closer to the start of the season. But we do get closer to the start of the Auburn University season, and looks like we're going to get to the phone lines in just a moment. But a scrimmage happening today for Auburn football, the first real big one of fall practice, and kind of going into this whole thing about what we want to hear about it, what we want to hear from it, what we want to see if we had the chance. It's not open to the media or anything, but just some of the things you want to hear out of the scrimmage. We'll talk about that coming up in just a moment. But let's get to the phone lines here in hour number two, 334-321-1390. We're going straight to you. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's John at Auburn.
What's up, John?
Hey, Christian. Hey, I'm doing well. Hey, Christian, I think y'all got it backwards. So what you need to do is have Andy, you know, plug the Lee Scott game during the Auburn broadcast.
There you go. That's what we really need to do.
I'm sure we can...
And when Auburn's in commercial breaks, they just go straight to the Lee Scott Sports Network.
Sure. I mean, Jacob has his game on Thursday. he's not getting the plugs from the network. So
there you go, man.
That's all we need. I'm missing out.
Look at that. Look at that.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate it, John. Thanks for the call, man. 334-321-1390.
I mean, yeah, Auburn's playing Baylor, but Lee Scott's playing Lochipoca, okay?
Hey, don't mess with Lochipoca now.
I'm saying, but where do the priorities lie, all right?
That was a good game last year, wasn't it?
It was a great game. Lee Scott, Lochipoca. It was a very ugly game from the standpoint of offensive success, but scoreboard at the end of 60 minutes
was tight.
Was great for Lee Scott.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you won. Win's a win in that scenario.
Very much was.
Yeah, Auburn High.
That was our first in the AHSAA last year.
Did y'all lose week one?
No, I guess we did. I guess we did play, because we played Wadley week one. Never mind. That was our first road win in the AHSAA.
I mean, hang the banner, right? Hang the banner.
Yeah.
I mean, I would. It's historical. It is. It's historical.
We'll take it. There we go. Lee Scott, Sports Network, August 29th. Just listen. AU 100.3 FM.
Boom. Auburn University has a scrimmage today for football, and a couple of things that I want to note, I guess just in terms of what we wanted to hear and see and just take away from this scrimmage. It's closed off, right? Nobody had access to it as far as we know. And I think for me, right, because we've heard really good things coming out of the quarterback room. There was a quote, believe yesterday, from either Deuce Knight or Ashton Daniels, and apologies for not knowing which one it came from.
Speaking of Buford, though, shout out Ashton Daniels.
But they said that they're just having a lot of fun, that the quarterback room is really enjoying themselves right now,
yeah,
which is exciting to hear from the standpoint of there's not really a battle for QB1. There absolutely is a battle for QB2, but you start listening to these guys talk and you wouldn't really know it.
No, again, that's what you really want, because you still need camaraderie in every single position group. And so that's why, man, I know Daryl Dapprich has spoke on it, but that's why you almost need guys like Ashton Daniels for your team. He knew that he wasn't coming in here, transferring from Stanford, to be that number one, to be the guy that you completely rely on the offensive side of the football. And he's had so many quotes about it of, man, my only focus right now is doing everything we can to make the quarterback room better, to make the receiver room better, to give them as many reps as they can. And I want to be known as a guy that helped lead our team to the SEC championship and to the college football playoff. I mean, having a guy like that, that has legitimate D1 experience on the West Coast, what more could you ask for in a character type of guy, other than, again, Ashton Daniels? And the fact that he's able to compete with Deuce Knight for the QB2 spot, and you feel like all three could see time in specific packages throughout the year. But, man, it's awesome to be able to understand that you have your guy in Jackson Arnold, but to know that the guys that are behind him, so to speak, aren't trying to clip at his heels and hope that something goes downhill.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And so I think what I want to hear and see and just be acknowledged of from a scrimmage like this is that the quarterbacks did what they were supposed to do. They made the throws. They had the time, right? I feel like there's a lot of concern right now with the Auburn fan base on the lack of production with the running game as a whole, right? We're hearing a lot in the few viewing windows we've seen with practice. The defensive line is flat out getting after it, which is good to hear from that point, because all summer we were like, oh, we don't really know. I mean, you got Keldrick Falk, but who's going to step up? Who's going to play nose tackle? Who's going to be your traditional D tackle and things like that? I mean, who's going to be the home wrecker on that defensive line? So from that perspective and those conversations that we had, that's awesome, because they're absolutely giving him the business on the offensive line, right?
Real ones, no.
But there seems to be some concern from Auburn fans with the lack of running production because of that, the lack of run blocking and things, even though we've heard good praises about the running backs individually. When they're going up against one another, doesn't seem to be a ton of production yet.
Yeah, bouncing, or I guess conflicting with that, though, the media availabilities that we've seen, there hasn't really been the RPO game. It's been much more of the, all right, we're running the ball 10 straight times, and not saying that the defense needs to cheat out of a drill, but when you know you're running the football, it makes things a little bit easier to hold your ground or cover your specific hole that you need to on the defensive coverage. But when we were seeing more of the offense, more of the ones, it wasn't in big chunks like you're going to see or like we're going to hear about in the scrimmage, and we have some details on that that I'll share here in just a minute. But we were watching. I mean, Darrell Robinson was able to get through the hole, and he was breaking off 10, 15-yard runs when they were doing those drills of, all right, offense, you're at the 20-yard line, get to midfield. Pick up three first downs to where you can start rolling. And so you feel like the total offensive production might not be there, but hearing more names in the running back room, you feel like gives you more confidence because, yeah, you're not hearing that Jarquez Hunter is having a fantastic fall camp, but you're hearing that three guys are having a really good camp. And so you feel like maybe the Auburn fan base, us included, are at the point of maybe it doesn't feel like there's as much production or as much success because you're hearing it from bits and pieces of different names.
Well, and I'll say this too. I think a lot of our buddies in the media have done a good job of acknowledging this about there's no surprise that there's a lot more buzz from the quarterback and receiving room.
Sure.
And let's be honest, more focus on that than on the running game itself, which for Auburn purists, for lack of a better word, just Auburn fans, I guess, and Auburn people, it's opposite of what you've grown up on. It's opposite to hear, hey, receivers are crushing it, quarterbacks are good, and the running game, it'll get there.
It's the news that you, weirdly enough, have expected to hear, right? A couple of years ago, all you care about in fall camp is how are the running backs looking.
How do they look? But what's the running back rotation?
Right, but because there's been so much hype on Jackson Arnold and the receiving core, and the fact that as much hype as we had for these receivers, you feel like it could be even greater now as you're seeing so many of these clips, and we've had so many people talk about it to where there's no way that it's possible that Auburn's receiver room is underrated, but maybe they could be. But you've heard so many names. You've heard Cam Coleman, you've heard Perry Thompson, you've heard Eric Singleton Jr., to where that news is what stands out a little bit more than the running back room, and that's on top of the guys like Jeremiah Cobb that just now got out of the yellow jersey. Damari Alston, we believe, is still working through a little bit with his heel, and so obviously those guys are not at full steam, which is giving credit to Omar Mabson to be able to step up and produce when your name is called. You're going to hear a lot more of it probably on Monday when all of the details get released from the scrimmage, but this is the first scrimmage of fall camp here in 2025. During the Wednesday media availability with Hugh Freeze, he kind of explained how everything was going to go today, and he said we're going to get 30 plays with the ones, 30 plays with the twos, and probably about 20 with the threes. We hope to get some heats and we get to experience that, but we probably won't push anything too far, and then we'll get some special team work to close everything out. And he said that his staff is really good on, you said 30, we're not going to try and push it to 40, even if plays 27, 28, and 29 aren't exactly what you want to see. And so, again, nothing too crazy, but again, you would imagine we didn't get a true timeline of the scrimmage, but if he's talking about getting out there and battling the heat, you would imagine it would be kind of that week one schedule of it's either about to happen or it's going on right now.
Before we get to break, a couple of updates on some Auburn guys, Auburn football players, that is. We learned this morning about Malcolm Simmons a little bit, and the idea that we knew that his preliminary hearing had been moved from, believe it was on the 13th, and got moved to today. I think that it was either the 12th or 13th was the initial date that it was set, but it got moved to this morning. And several people have reported on this. We won't hit on it super hard. We'll just give you the news that we have as of right now. Basically, they walked in to this hearing, and Malcolm Simmons, his representation, his defense, they asked for a youthful offender status to be in place. And for what that means, basically, if it's granted, all of the information, all of the facts, all the files, all the evidence, everything will be locked up and will not be made public to anybody if they do grant this youthful offender status for Malcolm Simmons. And that applies and can be applied for anybody under the age of 20 or younger.
And the immediate thought, or I guess what you've heard on half the media side of things, is, oh, well, he wouldn't need that if whatever the case wasn't true, right? But you just feel like from a standpoint of the way that social media works nowadays of although it's still you're innocent until proven guilty, social media works in the exact opposite way, to where just saving your grace, saving your last name, saving anything along the Auburn side, again, saving the entire story, you feel like this would be the best way of going about it, to where it can't just be on Twitter and everybody can do whatever they want with whatever information is so-called true or false.
And so if this is granted, he will not go into a jury trial. If you are not involved with this case legally, you're not allowed to be there. But if it doesn't get granted, and I have not seen an update on whether it has or not yet, then it would just go on as normal. So we'll see where that goes. If that is granted, basically what that means for Auburn fans who are trying to figure all this out is, at that point, you won't know anything until you just know the final result. But
and
all
that got
the
moved up, didn't it?
Well, that was this morning. That happened today. This was the hearing, but before it even started, his defense said, "Yeah, we want the youthful status," and so now that's being reviewed and has to be decided. And so, waiting to hear back on that. Also, another update. I know we got to get to break. There was, unfortunately, another Auburn player who was caught by law enforcement, and Hollis Davidson, the freshman tight end for the Tigers, came out today. He was arrested on July 28th on charges of drug possession, sale, and manufacture per the Fayette County Sheriff's Office. This is now the third Auburn player to be arrested this summer alongside of Malcolm Simmons and DJ Barber. So again, freshman receiver Hollis Davidson was arrested. It came out, the reports, not sure why it took so long to get reported, but arrested on July 28th of charges of drug possession, sale, manufacture, and others, according to the Fayette County Sheriff's Office. So, needless to say, not great to have three guys be in the news for the wrong reasons this summer. Hasn't taken very long for this all to be kind of strung together. Reports are saying that he has been suspended from the team for a, quote, violation of team rules, according to somebody there, and he has not been alongside the team ever since.
We do have possible good news as we, again, we keep saying it, headed to break, but you mentioned it to me over break. Tom Loy has his version of a crystal ball for a big-time player that's set to commit on August 21st.
I think we call that a tease in the radio business,
I would
folks.
Believe so.
I think we should go to break and see how that goes. We'll talk about that and one more topic as we wrap up the show right after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And man, it's been a good show today. We've covered a ton on the program over the last 2 hours. If you missed any of it, be sure you go back and check out the podcast on our station website at ESPNAU.com. We've talked about SEC football power rankings. We dove deeper into the SEC men's basketball schedules and highlighted some of the days that you will not want to miss on the schedule this year. Also have talked about the scrimmage for Auburn and what we want to hear and kind of see moving forward throughout fall practice and a whole lot more. And so, again, if you missed it, check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And yes, there is word that Auburn is trending up towards a really, really good player. We talked about Jace Matthews earlier, the receiver who's set to commit in about 2 hours to either Auburn, A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, and others. And so keep an eye on that one. But there's another player that Auburn is at least trending up for, according to 247.
Yeah, Braylon Womack, the safety from Flowood, Mississippi. He is a five-star regardless of where you look, and the composite has him as the 15th ranked player nationally, the number one safety in the country, and the number two player out of Mississippi. He's crystal balled right now to Ohio State, but obviously Texas has been in the conversation, but Auburn apparently has entered the conversation with a lot of heat in there as well. His commitment date is August 21st. Well, he will commit live on CBS Sports.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So keep an eye on that one as well. That's coming up in just a couple of weeks, but we are just about out of time.
Doesn't that sound wild? August 21st sounds like forever away.
That's less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's 2 weeks from yesterday. So Yeah, keep that in mind. But yeah, we are just about out of time, and we'll be back on Monday, where we have more media availability with Hugh Freeze. We have more practice availability and viewing windows, and we continue talking some of those position battles. We talk about the high performers for practice as well and what is going to come from high school football, college football, and beyond. And so, we could talk a little FedEx Cup golf on Monday after what happens this weekend. That's after a stacked leaderboard.
After Scotty comes back from T7, works his way into the weekend, he'll be four back on Saturday, and on Sunday he'll be on 13,
and you'll be able to turn it off.
Yeah.
Yep. So we'll talk some more about that and whatever else we want to on a Monday afternoon. All right, so we are back on Monday 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. until then, he's Christian Griffin, I'm Jacob Goins. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.